Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am here, I am Sal. And with me is your other co-host,
Lizzie.
Yeah. Also on this episode is Jonah, and this is the part where normally we would introduce her. But what happened was the
unbeknownst.
Yes. The clean feed room reset, and I lost a whole first half. So I'm sorry, Jonah. Like, she had some wonderful thoughts, but me and Lizzie are just going to kind of recap everything. Then it's going to cut into the rest of the episode that I do have, which is a good 35 minutes of great talk of intentions. These two episodes, which are Time to Fly and The Fallen Jedi, episodes 3 and 4 of Ahsoka. And technology.
Technology, which is so funny because when you were like, okay, that's a podcast, we're done. I wanted to make a joke and be like, oh. Haha, did you save it? Did you get it all?
I got half of it.
All right. Well, that's a
I got
step
half of it.
Up.
Yeah. We didn't lose a whole podcast. We are still flying half a podcast. But it was the last
There's
time.
There's an Overwatch line, and she says, all systems ready. What is it? Isn't it a Star Wars line?
How would I know? It's an Overwatch.
I don't know. I don't remember anymore. Anyway.
Okay. So just real quick, we'll just like run through kind of like what we remember that we made some really good points.
It was mostly about the relationship.
We talked about the relationship. So
Ezra and Sabine and how our family, of course, is like mostly about them, you know, being brother and sister. But Jonah made some good points about, you know, like them possibly being a couple and like just how much Sabine like misses Ezra and stuff like that. And, you know, she's doing anything at this point it takes to get to him. But I thought like it would be interesting to knowing the fact that they all died, like her whole, well, not all of them, her family in Mandalore died. And so like, because of that, I think personally, if she can bring back any kind of family possible, like she's gonna try to do that. Like, cause, and that's when I was thinking at the time too. I was like, well, she has Hera, she has little Jason, and she has Zeb technically. Which why didn't they call up Zeb?
I don't know.
Cause like you want to get the whole family in.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
This is like maybe he.
But it seems
too
like
much.
He's still part of the military too, cause he's over there. Yeah. But then they called the guy who was drinking at the bar with.
Yeah.
Carson so Davis like, showing up.
What? Hey. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, I like if your whole family dies, like you want, and you like now you're given the opportunity to bring one of them back, like she's going to take that.
In this house, we were very happy that they kind of doubled down as soon as Ezra's like, you're like a sister to me. We were like, thank you. And, but then
Star
they said
Wars,
something
they
else.
Did make Leia and Luke kiss though.
I guess so. That's not the first time. If something happens, it wouldn't be the first time Star Wars has shipped siblings.
They made it a little weird, too, with Dooku when he was little and, like, kind of almost liking his sister. But then they were like, wait a second, this isn't a light
but
crush,
it was very,
like,
it was very,
interest.
It was very, like, kid and, like, harmless. And then also he found out, like, he, and then he was like, oh, that's what that feeling was.
Yeah.
This is my family. Like that.
Yeah, so it was like, he was like, maybe it's a crush.
But yeah.
And then he was like, no, that's my sister.
Now I understand. Yeah. So like,
so
they,
I'm hoping they're strictly like, yes.
Yeah. You and I are very much on the like, yes, this is a family, because it also makes it very weird in our family unit, the way that we look at these characters as a family. Jonah's like ready for romance.
You know what romance I'm looking forward to?
Tell me.
Shin and Sabine.
Holding hands out there.
They were literally holding hands.
All cuffed up.
They were like you know, saber to saber. Uh-huh. And I was like, in my head, I was like, what if like mm-hmm. Sabine sneak attacks? Mwah. Like uh-huh. during that.
Star cross, blade cross lovers.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not as toxic as like people when they're like Kylo and Hux. Like it could turn into something. I mean, maybe. They,
you don't know their love language. What if Hux's love language is getting yelled at and belittled?
Sabine's love language is what's called words of affirmation. I wonder what Shin's is.
I don't know what that is.
Like good job. Like, hey, you did good. I'm proud of you.
She likes to be graded like Lisa Simpson?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I do, so I assume Sabine does too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we talked a little bit about that. We went into some of the, what was the other things in the beginning? We were talking about the spacesuit and going out in space, like, because it was the episode and of how, Time to Fly. Like the... Oh, we were talking about what a jerk Kazuda's dad is.
Yeah.
Senator Ziono, I got my eye on you, punk.
Jerk all the time. Yeah. Jerk to his son. Mm-hmm. Like, dishonor on you. Dishonor a cow.
Dishonor. No dishonor on your son, though. He's all right.
Yeah, no.
He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, you stay the comfy there on Hosnian Prime. Watch what happens in, like, 20 years.
I think it would have been funny if they used Kazuda's, like, Christopher Sean as his dad. I think that would have been funny.
It wouldn't like make sense. Like, he just looked exactly... Like you're talking about, like, Django Boba?
Yeah, just, like, kind of, like, you know, he was like, hey, I'm here to play my, mm-hmm. like, my character's dad. And I'm like, sure. Why not?
I'll allow it.
He's gonna die anyway.
Little baby Jason? We talked about little baby Jason. Yeah. How much he looked like... How much he looks like little baby Axel mm-hmm. when Axel first little did Ezra. Baby. Mm-hmm. And we hope that there... We all agreed that we hope that there's a scene where... Hera tucks his little hair behind his ear and it's green and pointy mm-hmm. at the end.
So he definitely looks a lot different than he did, like, I mean, again, it's like cartoon to like realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. And maybe like also he grew. But he looked a little pudgy.
Yeah,
maybe?
He was very like a little pumpkin head kind of creature.
Know. Maybe it was like, did he have green eyes or did he have brown?
I don't remember if he had green eyes. I think he had blue eyes, I thought.
Kids can't have contacts, huh?
Probably. And neither can Saw Gerreras.
Yeah. The Hera, too.
But anyway. Whatever. Hera's got contacts for days.
She got hot contacts, but they don't contacts look days, good.
Son. What up? You got contacts? We got contacts in this show.
But anyway.
Yeah. So, and then Sabine's kind of, let's see. Now we went through the Zuda stuff.
Let me bring Zuda, up the notes real quick. You know, just overall, I'm glad that I didn't make you guys answer that question in the beginning, and I made you guys answer the question of what would you name the title at the end.
Mm.
So that was good.
We'll get to that part I got.
Yes. What else do we talk about? A lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, but our main points were like, it was Sabine's training. I talked about how I really really like her combat and how she fights, because I really like, I look at choreography differently. Mm-hmm. And I like that her fighting, like, I really wanted her fighting to represent her character, and I'm seeing a lot of, like, flashes. Like, she's an artist. She moves differently. Like, she shouldn't fight. Like, Bo-Katan, I was talking about how Bo-Katan has, like, a very military style and is very, like, functional and effective, and the Jedi are very flowy. It's about energy. It's about flair. It's about, you know, different things. So I wanted Sabine to have some, you know, like, Din and Boba Fett move completely differently, and so does Bo-Katan. Like, and Sabine is trained by Kanan, but also she's trained as a warrior, as Mandalorian, but then she's also trained, and she was a bounty hunter for a while. She trained with Kanan. Like, she's done so many different things, and she interprets things through her own eye, and I really like the way that they're doing the fighting, the way that she rolls with her blasters, the way, like, she doesn't look like Din or Bo or Boba, and that makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Purgle, I think we got most of that.
We did talk about Purgle.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about the droid fight.
Droid fight?
Hu Yang was fighting the like other like little HKs.
Hu Yang? I don't know if I said this before, but his like back voice, like his background voice,
yeah,
scares me. It's great. I like it. It's cool. I can't tell if it's because he's old or like it just, that's how his voice is mm-hmm. for that type of droid, but it's scary.
We should punch up those episodes of Clone Wars and see if it was always there and you just never noticed it.
Maybe.
Very curious.
Okay. But yeah, he did.
I think that was our main, like, really good points, right?
Yeah.
Remember anything else?
I believe so.
The ship was cool.
We like Kaz.
Covered Jason.
Kaz.
Oh, there he is. Kaz, the radar technician.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I really like the music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to plug you into the rest of the podcast, which is going to have Ola Jonah along with us. So, you know, enjoy the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I lost you some minutes. And, you know, catch up.
It's 11 o'clock for me, people. So I'm like running out of vocabulary. Essentially, I do love the fact that they're opposites of each other, but still pull on those same, similar things here and there.
There's so much. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's really cool. Just the like matchups and the energy. And like now they have this big showdown in the forest. Everybody gets to do their fighting style. Goodbye, Marak. We hardly knew ye.
Why did he poof?
I think it's Night Sister magic. What do you think?
Yeah, it's Night Sister magic, in my opinion. Yeah.
So either
I thought he was just a person that poofs.
I mean, that could be a
you know, and I thought that too. Poofs. It could be a. I told my friend the same thing. It could Quimby? Either be Night Sister magic or a species that does that when mm-hmm. they die.
What about like he's a mushroom and like you know how some mushrooms like you stomp on them
right,
and they
the spore poof. Yeah.
Yeah. What if, like, little baby hymns are
oh,
all
like
over
like teeny tiny Maroks? And they all have teeny tiny double-bladed lightsabers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kubi. Kubi.
No, but that Night Sister magic makes
that would
sense.
Be my guess. So yeah, that,
especially because it doesn't seem like he has a connection with, like, Balin.
Right. So it seems like, yeah, he seems like either somebody who has Inquisitor armor, and then they, like, made him a thing, or he's an inquisitor who died and they just resurrected him like Morgan.
Yes, that could possibly be it.
Is
yeah
that why he's really
especially
bad?
Since Night Sisters, you know, the way that they buried their dead and
mm-hmm.
I remember that being a big aspect of their culture, so it could possibly be that inquisitor had died at some point and maybe they resurrected him using Night Sister magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then he poofs. Sabine in the armor fighting. Man, I like her pistol, the way her pistol loads. Like in the beginning, she's checking all her weapons and it's like, chuk, chuk. I was like, oh, that's rad.
And one of them looked exactly like Ursa's Westar.
Oh, I want to see what hers look like now. Because I think they all like use the same model, but like Sabine's always had
true.
A custom paint job.
Yeah, it's true. And but Ursa's are yellow because she had that yellow armor.
Right.
And one of Sabine's is yellow.
Yeah, Sabine always had one yellow and one blue.
You know what? I don't remember that. I'm so sorry.
I remember. I painted them.
Oh. Okay, so that makes sense then. So, but. You know, in my heart of hearts, you know, it's an ode to
That's her family colors, right?
True. So sad.
Yeah. So she faces off with Shin again, and then like she
Shin
tries.
Ramen.
She what? Shin ramen?
Yeah.
Okay, that is a thing we eat. That's fair. Yeah. So they like go, you know, like there's a, like they have a cool fight. She kind of does a force push, but then she doesn't do it.
Yeah,
want
and
take?
It
go ahead. Okay.
Okay. No, I don't think she has it.
Yeah.
But like, I thought it was funny that like she pushes her hand and you can hear the force.
Almost like a
like
little sound
like you
can
effect. Hear the force push, mm-hmm. but it's like not like fully there.
Right.
So in my head, and she like a Shin like winces.
Yeah.
And at first I thought I was like, wait, did she like maybe like tuck
like slap
push,
her?
But yeah, like push her hair a little bit. I don't know. You know, and then...
yeah, I think it's sort of like my brother does this to me. He pretends to throw something at me and then I react to it when he really didn't throw anything at me at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was. I think Sabine was trying to use the force in that instance, but nothing came out of it. But, you know, Shin reacted to it nevertheless. So, I really like that. And the fact that she did use the equivalent of the force, which was the darts or whatever it was. That's what Mandalorians had created to fight Jedi because they didn't have that capability.
I was hoping now that she would have her armor, she would be doing more stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was waiting for her to use
the
little
dart. And I like that. I was like, oh, yeah, take that. But then I was like, wait, but you have like so much more. Yeah. Why aren't you using that? Like, you
yeah, couldn't... I wish,
you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened to her jetpack. Well,
maybe they're saving it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're saving it for
and, like, the lasso.
Three more episodes, maybe. Four more episodes.
And like the push one.
Uh huh.
Maybe she used
yeah, the like sonic.
Like she could use that. Like, what happened?
Yeah, and those are on those gauntlets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fen Rao, y'all. Fen Rao gave those gauntlets to her.
Oh, I hope he didn't die. Mm-hmm. But knowing Star Wars, he did.
Yeah. Mega Man, don't go.
Mega Man. Mega Man.
That's my Mega Mando. Let's see. So then, you know, Ahsoka faces off with Baylan and they have their like philosophical conversation and then she gets sent off the edge. The fighting is good. And I'm not sure how it was going to go with Baylan because I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, like in the back of my head, I always have like Corey. Well, I don't know if this person knows how to move a blade. I don't know how to. But the fighting was like very well done. He fights very like. There's like a Vader stillness to his moves.
Yeah, so I was like, interesting. Yeah, you know? Yeah, and my brother mentioned it came off more like him using like a long sword, like
yeah.
He was using one of those huge swords from way back when. But I love how heavy it looked. Like whenever he took a swing, it looked like it weighed 20, 25 pounds.
Yeah, and it was like knocking Ahsoka back too. Like, so that was really interesting to see. Yeah, the choreography was really good, and I thought it was really interesting, and they told a story, and then she thinks, you know, Shin shows up, and she thinks
that Sabine's Shin killed Sabine dead,
and then Sabine shows up, and then Ahsoka gets wrecked, and Sabine thinks Ahsoka's dead, and that's when we get that whole choice thing.
She, like, Ahsoka goes to grab, like, the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, it's burning, because there's a fire, there's a flame.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it reminded me of, like, being at work in the kitchen. Because, like, you have, like, I do eggs now. I haven't done a breakfast shift before.
Mm-hmm.
So I make so many different kinds of eggs. And I hate egg whites. They suck because even if you butter the pan, they stick. They always stick to the pan. And everyone wants an egg white omelet. And I'm like, you're getting scrambled. I'm sorry. but anyway. So the pans are super, super hot. But they have like a little rubber thing on the edge of the handle. So it's easier to grab. Like it's cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's just like a piece of plastic that now is heated up. And if I'm like rushing an order, like I always have a towel on me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll just grab it. And I'm like, okay, just put it in the plate. Put it in the plate. Put it in the plate. Okay, drop it.
I thought it was more
that's
like
how, that's the, how it felt.
That's great. Life in the kitchen. I like the. It reminded me a little bit of like Indiana Jones when the bad guy grabs the metal. You know, and then he's like.
Oh yeah, and it.
That's what reminded me too. I wonder if they're going to extract the map from her hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
She had like a glove on.
Yeah, and she even has a glove.
Help her.
But yeah.
Maybe it's on her fingertips.
Yeah, right? A little bit. So then, boom, she goes flying off the edge. And that reminded me of Twilight of the Apprentice, because Vader knocks her off, too.
Oh, yes.
You know. She likes falling.
Yeah, and then, I found it fascinating that Ahsoka lost her control when she saw Shin and reacted the way that she did. Because
mm-hmm.
I always... Even during the rougher parts of the Clone Wars, like, I don't remember Ahsoka losing control in that manner. It wasn't losing control per se, but it was, like, giving in to her anger in that moment.
I mean, remember the episode where they catch, like, Newt Gunray, and then she's like, I'll gut you like a fish, and then Luminara's like, calm down, child.
Well, then she's like, actually.
But that was like a cute sort of anger. This was like a upset.
Yeah, that's the one time that I saw her like, excuse you, kid. But yeah, I don't think she was put in a lot of those situations. Like, other than, like, I'm trying to think of something other than, like, because, like, the whole end or whatever when she's kicked out, everybody's against her. So it's not like she's defending anybody but her own self. You know, and then the clones, she doesn't want to kill, you know what I mean? Like, she's very anti-killing
reserved.
Them, you know, but
she's
upset, but she's still trying to protect, like, there. I can't think of a time where she's, like, fighting against somebody to protect other people, you know what I mean? Where she would lose it, Mm-hmm. Like, this would be like an Obi-Wan or Anakin situation.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that happening at all.
I also wonder if it's like, also, Baylan is like kind of, teasing is not the correct word, like kind of like, you know, like poking at her, like,
taunting.
Taunting her a little bit. And she's like, well, I'm not here to discuss my past.
Right.
And stuff like that. And then, like, the whole thing with Sabine, because they were just kind of getting along, especially with, like, Hu Yang being like, you guys were always better together.
Right.
You know, and I think her having technically, or, like, you know, Sabine coming back and Ahsoka getting, like, a second chance almost, like, and now Sabine's gone, and Sabine's dead, and she maybe, like, feels like she failed Sabine, and that's why she just, like...
Yeah.
Kind of
no, I definitely let it out. Get that. Yeah. Mm. But I understand the, like, reaction. It's very human. And I know Jedi are supposed to be disciplined and all that, but, like, she's not really a Jedi, but she's also really not a Jedi. So it's like, you know. The but what I think about more is, like, the... So, like, then she's kind of out. She goes off the edge. Sabine thinks she's dead, and that's when Sabine's like, okay, let's go. I'll go with you willingly, you know, because the guy's taunting her, and like, well, we can go find your friend. Don't worry. Yeah. Like,
yeah. He's just more, like, understanding.
Yeah, but then, like, also, like, why? You have the map. Like why, like, in reality, like, why did he take her?
Like, what? And that's another aspect about Baylan that I really like. The fact that he's honorable, even in his twisted, warped mentality that he has. Like, he still has some honor. And it looks like he's tried teaching that or tried passing that on to Shin.
Right.
She hasn't had, you know, being that she's so young, it doesn't really come off all that well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for Baylan, he does seem like he is the type of person who, you know, you did something for me, I'm going to do something for you in return.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I mean, like, he has the force. He has it. Like, he could have just killed her. Like he could have just pulled the thing out of her hand. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that he could have done, but he didn't do that. He said, hey, give this to me and we'll make a deal. Like, why?
Maybe then, he sees her as some sort of bait, possibly, for Ezra.
There you go. That's interesting. Yeah.
Like, have you met my apprentice? Mm-hmm. You guys would make a great couple.
Yeah, like, that would be a great way to lure. And that's the thing about Jedi, right? That's the thing that, you know, for Obi-Wan and for all these other characters, all you have to do is put someone in danger and they come out.
Right. It's like, they cannot help it.
Oh, God, what's his name? Yes, thank you.
Jedi must do the thing that they always do, trying to help people.
Exactly.
The Jedi are so lame.
And so, yeah, I can see that being maybe, I mean, he was honorable in that moment, but it could also be interpreted as, he's possibly using her to get to Ezra.
That is an excellent point. So this is the part where, like, the family got really split. Like, Liz was yelling at the TV, like, what are you doing?
Mom was not yelling.
What do you think?
Lizzie?
Do you agree with Sabine? Because I feel like that's what I would do. I would do what Sabine's doing.
I understand her, but at the same time, like, in my head, I would have been like, Ahsoka would have wanted me to shoot it. Mom would have wanted me to not do this.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Ezra. I mean, as part of me wonders whether Ezra would have wanted her to do this. And that's why I'm so curious to see what his reaction will be.
I feel like Ezra is counting on her to find him, and that's just what she's doing.
Yeah. That's why I'm I'm mixed. When it happened, I was like, oh, you suck. But also, I get it. You don't suck, but, like, you suck right now. Like, so I'm not mad at her. I completely understand.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm, like, very indecisive, so I don't even know what I would have done. Like, I would have been like, fine, or throw it in the ocean or something. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what I would have done.
No, I'm, like, 1,000%, like, not only do I understand it, I'm, like, that's what I would have done. I think she's doing I think Ahsoka was wrong. I think Ahsoka telling her to destroy the thing. I think Ahsoka, like I said before, Ahsoka's making decisions out of fear and Sabine is making decisions out of like to protect her family, like to save people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ahsoka's not doing that.
Yeah, you know, and I keep going back to Star Trek for this, because there are instances when, you know, certain characters are put in situations mm-hmm. where, you know, they want to protect a few, but then in doing that, right. they put a greater amount of people in harm's way. So there's this big famous quote from one of the, you know, iconic characters, Spock, where he says, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Ahsoka's approach was that, you know, this is more, we have to destroy it because we don't know what could come of it. This is a preemptive strike. We have to strike mm-hmm. because
Thrawn's not allowed to do this.
There's a 50% chance.
That's what got him banished from the Chiss in the first place.
Exactly.
Funny right? you say yeah, that, so. Jonah.
There's a 50% chance that Thrawn can come back and we'd be, you know, I'm losing my words today.
I got
but you. We'd be going back several steps in doing that. So I feel like Ahsoka was doing the Jedi thing, and Sabine was obviously doing the very emotional thing.
The whole like hit and one person with the train or hit 10 people with the train.
Exactly. Yes.
Like,
the train.
I get that a little bit too, but like I also feel that the Jedi were doing the wrong things during the Clone Wars. Like those were the kind of decisions they were making. But I feel like what they should have been is saving and protecting the people. Like, and I feel like bringing a Jedi back is a stronger gain for the galaxy than not.
Again, and then, like you said, a Jedi that got rid of Thrawn.
But yeah, and then,
in
yeah.
the first place.
Oh no, like they're going to bring Thrawn back. It's dangerous. And the kid who beat him.
Yeah, the one that has insane plans.
And this also reminds me of, you know, those non-answer questions, the non-answer responses from Dave whenever he was asked about the Force. And it reminds me of one of the things he said about, you know, selfless versus selfish.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can interpret Sabine's actions as being selfless because she is wanting to
for personal
get
reasons.
this Jedi back to their galaxy so that he can continue contributing and being a good force for good,
mm-hmm.
or you can interpret her actions as being very selfish because she wants this for herself. She doesn't care about what happens to the rest of the galaxy.
So
you can interpret it two ways.
That's fair. That's understandable. I still think she's doing the right thing. And I think just like Rose said, that's how we win, by not by fighting what we hate, but saving what we love.
Oh, gosh. You know. But yeah, I was definitely one of those people who was just screaming at the screen. And when I say I am screwed, this episode has me screaming. That is very, very accurate.
Very
and my mom will tell you she screams at the TV screen when I write those tweets.
I
was yelling. I was screaming. I was clapping. I was hitting, you know, slapping my thighs, slapping the edge of the couch. I get very animated while watching Star Wars.
That's believable.
That scene really had me on the edge.
I love it, and I still love it. I can't wait to see what's going to happen, but I feel then the other thing, too, is because I'm like, the thing that makes Thrawn dangerous is, like, he's really good at fleet tactics. Like, unless he has a fleet, like, he's not a danger. Like... Oh, hold on. Hurry up. If he's like, if you bring Thrawn back and you just like put some handcuffs on him, he's really not a threat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What makes him dangerous is the entire Imperial fleet. So if he gets with the Imperial guys with Paelion and starts getting control of them, then you're probably in trouble. But if you just bring him and Ezra back and he's in like handcuffs, there's not a whole lot he can do. Then again, they broke Moff Gideon out of jail, so maybe they could break him out of Imperial jail. New Republic jails, not doing too good right now.
No.
And that's where Hera is sort of right in her thought. Even though she can't really prove that there are forces out there or that there are people that they've, so, you know, quote unquote converted into being New Republic citizens who were previously Imperials, like, mm-hmm. she knows that they're out there. And those are the people that we need to worry about, because Thrawn can potentially become a leader for those people.
Right, right, right.
And so, it's fascinating because you see all these different things playing out, and you know that's where it's headed, possibly. Yeah.
And definitely make them a formidable force. I get that. But, like, if Sabine gets there and Thrawn and Ezra are like, finally, at last, you have found us. And Ezra and Sabine are like, all right, you ready? Let's kill everybody on this ship right quick. Mm-hmm. And Ezra's like, throw whales at them. And then boom, done. And then they're like, okay, let's go back.
That's another thing. I remember, and I even posted a tweet of this when because I had to go back to what I had written to my friend. Because mm-hmm. 2 days after Rebels ended, I posed a question to her, and I said, what would happen if a Jedi or a Force-sensitive character were to be in another galaxy, like put in another galaxy? Do you think the Force would still be an aspect of that galaxy? Mm-hmm. Would it be stronger? Would it be weaker? And I remember posing that question to her with Ezra in mind, because I was like, maybe Ezra's in a different galaxy. And then I thought that was so far-fetched that I was like, you know what? That's not going to happen. And then when we find out that that is the case, I remember looking at, my computer at my friend who's on the other end and thinking, oh my God, Dave and I had the same freaking thought about Ezra being in a different galaxy. Like, what are the chances? But anyway, I'm so curious to see what this other galaxy looks like.
Yeah.
And whether the Force acts differently, whether it's the same. And the reason I, went to this thought was because with the Chimera having been there for 10 years, like, is it even in good condition?
Right.
What have they been up to for 10 years? I have all these questions regarding that other galaxy.
All the windows were busted out when we last saw it, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it must be rusted out, as rusty as Marek was, you know?
Right. It looks like it's been crashed on Jakku for a few years, you know? But I mean, I would guess, like, even, because I was trying to think, I'm like, okay, the ship is all busted out. They get there. They get to wherever they're getting. Like, maybe they crash into a planet or something. Who knows? But, I mean, it's got hangars full of TIE fighters and shuttles, and, like, there's probably there's equipment, there's food rations, there's, like, they could probably just survive, like, Ezra and Thrawn could probably just survive on the Star Destroyer for years before even looking out a busted window to see what's going on out there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then I don't remember whether this is, I think this is something from the novels, where there's, like, some sort of external force that Thrawn was worried about. I forget what it was exactly.
So in the Thrawn books, it seems like a lot of his ulterior motives are protecting his own people, the Chiss ascendancy. Mm. And there's like this threat that's emerging that he's like they're never really like fleshed out, but they're like everything sort of leads back to them, and they're these creatures called the Grisks. And it's almost like they're using other people, you know, nations, worlds, armies to fight for them, and like they're like they sort of like assimilate other people to,
oh my God, it's the Borg from Star Trek.
Like less like that, but like the effect is the same.
Right.
But it's more like that they take advantage of whatever the other people want, and then they use them to fight the battles for them. And, like, so they're fighting all these people, and they keep getting all these other, we never had a problem with these people in 40 generations. And then it turns out that they had made a deal behind their back with the Grisks because they were trying to take control of something, you know. Like, they're playing all these other people off each other. And that they're also, like, taking the best of all of their tactics and technologies and sort of, like, making that part of whatever they are. So, like, the more people that they use, the bigger threat they become.
Right, right.
And so his idea is to come to the Empire, which is like the biggest war machine ever, and sort of get it and learn it and take advantage of it and use it to extinguish that other threat, which coincidentally will also save his people over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
do you think that's remotely where they're headed, or is this something completely different?
I don't know, because it's like,
yeah,
it's like he plays a long game, but then I also feel like with the more he's with the Empire, he sort of just ends up, I don't want to say serving power, but he's like, his thing is always like, well, I need to like utilize the power and make sure that I have that, like, he goes with where the power is and he makes sure to maximize the power. So it's like at the time, the Empire is the power. So when he comes back here, in theory, he can make that power a power again. You know what I mean? Like, he can,
I see.
He can bring these pieces, this shattered fleet, these shattered people, and make them a threat and like take the power back, which I don't know if it's still to help his people anymore. It might be, but
yeah, that's what I was wondering, like, whether that's still his motivation.
Because it could be, but it really, like, he will still do what must be done to take that power, or to, like, build that power. Mm-hmm. I think, at least that's my interpretation of where I think it is. But I don't know if it has anything to do with Grisks. I don't know if they're in that other galaxy. Like, I kind of always thought maybe he was in the unknown regions, and then, but then, if they're not known, how do you know they're not other galaxies? Who knows? You know, like, beyond the bounds of wild space, maybe that's where he was from the whole time. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they could sort of pull anything off. The only thing they've ever done extra galactic is the Yuuzhan Vong back in the Legend days.
Yuuzhan Vong, yeah.
Which were these people that existed without any type of force. So they were, like, immune to the force because you couldn't, like, mind trick them because, like, there's no force in them. You could only throw things at them, and they were really good warriors. But you couldn't, like, use the force against them in any way because, like, they don't have force. And, like, everything about them is alive. Their weapons are, like, snakes that stand up really straight. And their ships are giant creatures that they, like, get inside.
So I can't be a weapon.
You can't?
No, I don't stand up straight.
No. Well, you would be a crooked stick. Okay. You would be like, this is my hook. But yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder if that could possibly be, because they had concept art for that in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
That
they
never got around to being made into an actual arc. So yeah, that would be fascinating. I mean, I'm up for anything.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they're planning, I'm open to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've been pulling a lot of stuff. They keep saying heir to the Empire over and over, so we'll just see, I guess, but. You know, like, they do pull a lot of stuff from Legends. I'm curious to see how they would make it work, because I feel like it was an interesting story in Legends, but I also feel like it was a little weird, didn't quite fit with a lot of the themes of Star Wars, and like, there were some very interesting and beautiful stories and characters that came out of that, but, like, all in all, I felt like it missed a lot of the themes that made Star Wars Star Wars. Because I think even, like, the pitch idea at the time was, like, what kind of, like, real threat could we make that could, like, beat up Jedi? And they were like, what about these guys that are immune to the Force and they can't even get hacked by R2 because everything is living? Can't even hack their ships. They're just giant creatures. You know? I don't know. Like, obviously, I wasn't at the pitch meeting. Clearly. But
Sorry, I just remembered that the very end of this episode ends with Anakin.
Mm-hmm. Little smooth face Anakin right there. So what's your interpretation of this?
I think, you know, and some people were like, well, he doesn't have his scar, so this could be a completely different Anakin, some sort of, you know, negative force or whatever, or negative entity, I should say. I think it is Anakin, mainly because when Kanan was about to die, his vision was brought back. It's like all the physical things that were holding you back were disappearing because he was now transitioning into something, into the cosmic force. So I feel like now that Anakin is he's been part of the cosmic force for years now, but with him being in that space now, he doesn't have the things that afflicted him, that scar, all the things that made him Vader. So I think that's why he looks so pristine.
Right.
So that's my thinking. But I think that's really him.
Yeah, I think like, because everybody's like, oh, she's in the world between worlds and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that's what's happening. I think she's unconscious and having a vision. I think she's having a nice little near. I don't think she's in like the world between worlds. I think this is definitely some sort of nexus or what they call it, a reflex point for the star map. But I don't think like the world between worlds was accessed specifically by a temple that Ezra blew up with his fists. At least
that we know of.
That we know of.
You
that's
have
true.
To be open to it,
that's
the possibility
true. It
that
does
there are
connect
other ways.
To other places. But the Emperor wanted
Ezra
him to open that one.
Right, because Ezra
like
was in the world between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ezra was in the world between worlds in season one when he got his. When he met with Yoda, or season two when he met with Yoda, and season one when he got his crystal.
All of the like temples, like they all connect to it, but like that temple specifically was like how you accessed it. So like it's all this like liminal force space that exists in like a. Like on the force plane or whatever. So I think she's having a vision. Like, I think the visions where she's connecting is that happening there. Like, I think she's communicating with him in this space, but she's like not physically there.
She's not, I don't think she's physically there. No. I think her mind, her consciousness, or whatever it is that's manifesting is transported there.
And I do
where
think she's,
she is physically, I'm not sure.
I totally agree that. Oh, I think she's in the water.
do you?
I think she's down under the water or washed up on the beach, unconscious, and she's connecting in the force. Her spirit is getting a pep talk.
This also reminds me of, and I'm sorry to, reference a problematic piece of art or a work of art, I should say, or.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what phrase I'm trying to reference here, but Harry Potter. In Harry Potter, when I think it was in the final movie, when when Harry is killed, by Voldemort, he enters the platform 9 3/4, and he sees Dumbledore, and so his mind is transported somewhere, and his body is physically on the forest floor.
Yeah,
and so he's talking to Dumbledore, and he asks him, "Is any of this real?" And Dumbledore says, "Of course, none of this is real. But just because it's not real doesn't mean that I forget the exact quote. But it you believe that it is. So so that's what makes it real, essentially." So, that's essentially what's happening to Ahsoka.
I think.
Her mind, state of mind is somewhere else. Yeah.
I think she's connecting with her master. I think he is reaching out to her to help her in her time of need. I don't think she's dying. I think she just got beat up a little bit and she's going to cough up a little bit of ocean water and be just okay. She's going to ride a pergola out of the water and be just fine. I don't know. I think this is really cool. I can't wait to see what happens next week.
Me too. But do you think we're going to see Ezra next week? Because you might actually hear my scream all
like
the way from
all the way,
North
yeah.
Carolina.
I think it'll be great. I feel like we should. Like next week, they're showing episodes in theaters. It's the next episode is directed by Filoni. So I feel like this is the one where stuff is, I feel like we're going to get the reveal of Thrawn and Ezra and like a nice little speech from Anakin or whatever.
Dave will hear from my lawyers if they're like, well, like Thrawn is here, but Thrawn's like, well, he passed.
He ate Ezra 5 years ago.
Yeah. I feel like, no.
It would be so cool if we were to see their perspective through whatever it is that her mind is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that would work, but I would love to see something related to those two characters either in the next episode or the following episode, sort of like a 10 years earlier sort of a thing.
Oh, I would be upset.
You would? Yeah.
I would be upset because I would be like, because I want so badly to see what happens next. And if we went backwards all of a sudden, I would be like, oh. On rewatches, I would appreciate it more. But at the time where I'm waiting a week and then I have to wait another week, I would be upset. So by the time these episodes are released, I would feel better about it.
No, but yeah, no, that would actually work best as a book, as a novel. I would love to read that, those two perspectives in a novel. But yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next. It's going to be, whatever it is, it's going to, stuff is going to hit the fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know. It's so far, this show is like doing it for me. I really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the story. I really like Sabine a lot. And I'm very, very happy to see her grow. And I can't wait to see what's become of my little Ezra boy.
I know. I can't wait. Oh, yeah. My God.
Look, Anakin Skywalker's cool and everything, but like he's had like 6 movies to himself. And I want to see Ezra.
Yeah.
Let me see my Ezra.
Yeah, I want to see Ezra.
But I'm very happy that Ahsoka gets to connect to her master. She's going to have a good week, maybe, when she... done coughing
please
up
let
water.
Me see my let me see my space son. Yes, I want to know that he's been hydrating and taking care of himself.
I'm ready to see like my space blueberry boy come back all growed up.
Do you guys have a title in mind?
Ooh,
blueberry.
Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, the name of one of my favorite Star Wars Rebels pieces of music is called Journey Through the Star Cluster. That would be a cool...
Is that the rock one?
No, that's the one where like they go like to Zeb's house. Like do 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 do
Lyra song.
Yeah, just like that.
I will accept Rebels song names.
I mean, I'm just trying to... Like, I would think of something that like evokes a picture. Like, this is, we're going beyond, like, we're journeying, we're going to save somebody. So, Saving Ezra Bridger would be a great title.
It might be, you know, knowing Dave, it's probably the name of a Lord of the Rings chapter. Like, because this is very Gandalf for Ahsoka. Gandalf fell from, you know, from the fighting the Balrog, and now he went through his own journey to become... you know, Gandalf the White. So right. I feel like this is Ahsoka's journey and that interpretation done for Ahsoka. And so whatever chapter that's called in the Lord of the Rings, which I haven't read in forever, that's probably the title, but I might be wrong.
I never read it, but let's go with Return of the King because Ezra's coming back.
Oh,
that's fine. Call the show Star Wars, Return of the King. There's my boy.
That's so funny.
And then other people are going to be like, actually, it's about Thrawn. No, it's not. It is referencing my dear son. Okay. Everybody done? Everybody good? Everybody said any last pieces? Any last words? What do you have an idea for episode? For a show? What the show would be called? What you would call it? Saving Private Ezra?
No, not really. I mean, a silly one would just be Blueberry, but little Blueberry boy. Return of the Blueberry. Which one? We don't know.
Thrawn walks up and they're like, "We've come to save you." And he like Ezra's wearing his face.
What?
He's like, "At last, I knew you. I knew I could count on you, Sabine."
Okay.
Everybody else is like, ah.
Yeah, he's all like, you know, like he's ripped, he's buff.
Right. He's like Tarzan.
Yeah.
Wearing a Thrawn costume.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Okay.
The Unknown.
All right. That is a podcast.
Where can we find you, Jonah?
Oh, yeah. It's called The Bridge of Khazad-dûm. I don't think that's what the episode would be called, but it could be called The Bridge of something.
Wait. I got it. The Bridger of Khazad-dûm.
Oh. Yes. Perfect.
There you go.
But yeah.
Nailed it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What was the question before?
Oh, where can we find you?
Oh, yes. So you can find me hopefully a little bit more awake than what I am right now and a little bit, you know,
we apologize. You know,
as it make more sense.
We have kept Jonah past your bedtime.
With my handle at Hola Jonah. And so you can also find me on Instagram with that same handle. And yeah, I hopefully will make more sense on Twitter and Instagram than what I've been making in this entire
episode.
Or maybe
less sense. That's okay.
Yeah, that's true too. True too.
Awesome. You can check us out at theroguerebels.com, and we are at theroguerebels everywhere except on Twitter, where we are at roguerebelsfan. Go rate the podcast, do things, enjoy your life, and see you guys in the next one.